We are in a series where we're talking about how do we live a rich life? What does that look like? And how do we do that in a biblical perspective? Last week, we spent a lot of time walking through the scripture and looking at the way that God impacts us through being good stewards of his money. And the way that God can bless us by beginning to help refocus us and retrain us to recognize that it's all God's money and that we're stewards. And this calling to be good stewards of that and how that can impact our whole life and our whole perspective. And so it was good to be able to do that in the scripture last week together. This week, we're going to take a few minutes and look at the ministry that we get to do together as a church. And the ministry that we get to invest in together and to be a part of. And so we're going to celebrate a little bit of what God's done over this past year. And we're going to look forward to where God's taking us in this coming year. It's kind of a fun morning to do that. And we'll look at scripture together. And so I want you to pray with me as we head into this time. God, would you guide us? We want to be people that give our whole lives to you, every part of it. And that means not just our devotional life, but every decision, even our financial life and the things that we do with our time and the ways that we use the gifts that you've given us. Would you help us as we come together around your scripture and as we celebrate together the ministry that we've done? And God, would you also help us to listen for your voice as we go forward? That as you call us in to do ministry, to have an impact in this community, would you help us to hear it, understand it, and run clearly in the direction you call us? We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen. There's this story that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 25. He tells a parable, and this is the parable sometimes called the parable of the talents. And some of you will be familiar with that. He says there's a man that had a business, and he had some money, and he was leaving. He was going away. He had some servants, some guys that worked for him, and he gave three different guys different amounts of money. To one, he gave a large bag of gold, and in some of the older translations called it talents of gold, and sometimes now you'll just see bags of gold, but same idea. To another, a little bit, and to one, he gave just a small amount. And then the guy goes away, the master goes away. When he comes back, he's sort of checking in. How did it go? And as Jesus tells this parable, the one that he gave much to, he invested it well. He multiplied what he had been given, and he had a great return. And he said, look, this is what's happened. It was kind of an exciting response. The guy that had a little bit, he invested a little bit, and he came back, and he had some to report, and it was a good report as well. But the last one, the guy that had just a little bit, just a small amount, he did something different with his. He protected it. He didn't invest it. Now, he took care not to lose it, and he was pretty excited about that, but it didn't go well. I'm just going to read this for you. It won't pop up on the screen, but this is from Matthew chapter 25, and verse 24. Listen to how this goes for the guy that just took a little bit. This is verse 24. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, investing where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out, and I hid your gold in the ground. See here? This is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. Not what he was hoping to hear, right? You wicked and lazy. And it goes on from there, but it's not a good response. He shows up, look, I saved your money. I kept it. I held on to it. And the master is not excited. Why? Because it was meant to be invested. Sometimes in the church we get this idea, and I don't know where it comes from. I know that it's kind of crept up in my own mind over the years and over different churches, and the idea looks something like this: we want people to come to a relationship with Jesus. We want them to have a relationship with Jesus. So we want them to invite Jesus to be Lord and Savior. And once we do that, then we want them to go to heaven when they die. And in between, the goal becomes don't don't behave badly, right? Like, just hear a couple lines, and you just stay between the lines. And if you stay between the lines, if you live pretty well between here and when you die and go to heaven, that's it. That's the goal. That's what we're all about. And I know that you would look at me and you go, well, that's not really what it means to be a follower of Christ. And I would agree with you. But somehow in the back of our minds, somehow that has become sort of the mode that we operate in. And I've seen churches do this where they say, you know, the goal is pretty much just getting people across that line into heaven when they die. And in between, we just want them to behave pretty well. So just stay between the lines. And that's the whole thing. But actually, when you look at the scripture, that's not biblical at all. That the picture in scripture is that you have been gifted. You have been talented. As a church, you've been given talents and resources. You've been given these good gifts of God, and you're to employ them in ministry. The goal is not to get across the finish line with just as much as we had when we started. The goal is to be a part of the work that God is doing in the community around and to give ourselves away in the pursuit of that, to be a part of the mission. That's really incredible when you think about it, because scripture is so clear. It's not even close. He called the guy wicked and lazy that just held on to what he had. Now that's pretty stark. So there's this call, and it's just real clear that we would invest. And when we talk about this, we do this when we say, hey, you're going to become a member of the church and you're interested in that. And when we do that, we talk about what does it mean to be that? And we say, we want you to invest in your time, your talents, and your treasures. As we talk about, these are the resources that God has given you to take your time and to be a part of the church family means you gotta invest in it a little bit. So you give your time and you give your talents. That you have gifts that God has given you, has placed in you. We talk about that all the time, all through scripture. It's really, really clear. God has given you gifts and experiences and wisdom, and you're to use those, to employ them in the ministry of the church and for the community around us. And so we invest our time and our talents and even our treasures. That financially, we come together. And we talked about that last week. We said, hey, we want to say God is first. And so in all of our life, God is Lord over all of our life, even our finances. And so we put that first. And then we're part of investing together to do ministry together. And when we do, the impact can be incredible. When you look at the ministry that we do, you can kind of see it in three different categories. One is to reach those who are not here yet. You'll hear me talk about that sometimes. Who are God's children that are far from God? We're called to reach out to them. So those who are not here yet, and you'll see us do things for them all the time. Just a couple of weeks ago, we did a fall festival. It's called Fallapalooza, and the staff giggles every time I try to spell that on anything. And obviously, I don't know how to spell Fallapalooza, but we did, and over 1,000 people from the community signed up to be a part of our Fallapalooza. That's an incredible thing. And we have basketball leagues that are going on right now, and you'll see tons of families that are part of the community, not really connected to the church, as part of the basketball league. These are great opportunities to reach out and have a point of contact and get to know people and invite them to be a part of the church community. Now, one of the things we kind of struggle with is how do we go from 1,000 people showing up to Fallapalooza to inviting them to actually go on this journey of faith with us, to go on the journey, to become part of the family, to come to know Christ and see God transform their lives. How do we move from just showing up and getting candy, which is pretty fun? You know, I mean, we got to start somewhere. Giving away candy is pretty good. But how do we go from there to transformation? And that's one of the things that we think about and we pray about all the time, and we begin to strategize about, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But one of the things we do is we reach those far from God. We reach the lost. And the next thing we do is we build up the believer. We have all kinds of great classes and groups that are that meet and around and different ways for you to grow in your faith, and we gather together for worship on Sunday. That's building up. And opportunities to get to know each other and to spend time with each other. These are ways we build in our relationships with each other and our relationship with God. The last kind of category that we look at when we're doing ministry as a church is we equip everyone to be a part of ministry. And you'll hear me do that from the simplest ways where I tell you to get your green volunteer shirt and, you know, show up. And you guys do. You put on those green volunteer shirts and we show up and we do ministry together. But everyone is given gifts and talents that should be used in ministry, whether that's volunteering in a specific ministry or in part of kids ministry, and we see those blue shirts walking around, or the different ways that God has called you to care for people around you and notice them and pay attention and invest in their lives. These are all part of ministry. And our goal as a church is to help people recognize their ministry and put it into use, right? That we would equip everyone to be a part of ministry. Well, it's been an incredible year of seeing some of those things happen. And last year, about this time, what I told you was, I stood here and I said, here's what we're going to do as a church over this next year. We have an opportunity on our Arlington campus. Remember, we're one church with two campuses. And our Arlington campus had an incredible opportunity. A lot of people are moving to Arlington. We hadn't really invested in ministry the way that we could out there. And so this last year, I said to you, as a whole church, we're going to come together. We've got a game plan. We're going to move forward. We're going to lean into the Arlington campus. And I said, hey, be a part of that. And you know what's incredible? When I've been to some of the events and things that we've done out on the Arlington campus, every time I'm out there, I look around and I see people from the Cordova campus with their green volunteer shirts, you know, over volunteering. We have done this together as a church. Now, I want you to hear a little bit of what's going on our Arlington campus, because we've spent this last year really investing in this. So listen to this.
Good morning, Cordova. I am Diana Shiflett, and I'm the campus pastor at the Arlington campus. And today I want to talk to you about all that God has accomplished at the Arlington campus so that you can be in on all of the excitement. I have several things I want to tell you about, so I'm just going to go straight on through them. So one of the first things that we did is we hired three new staff members. We have a Joanna Hendren, who's our children's pastor, Sam Norfleet, who is our worship director, and currently is Vicki Gibson is our events coordinator, but Ingrid Cantrell started in that position, but she got a full-time job. Numbers have grown consistently since Rodney and I visited in July of 2022. There were 43 people in the building when we visited that day. And last Sunday, there were 91 people during the 10 a.m. hour. So I feel like we are on the grow over this last year. We also brought in nearly 20 new members over this last year. Last Christmas, we had 128 people worshiping in the building for Christmas Eve. And then on Easter, we had 163 people. We have also done a lot to the facilities over the last year. We've painted the entire building and fixed the sign on the outside. We've repaved the driveway and the parking lot. We tore down the house that sits between the church building and the preschool building. We have new signage all over campus so you know which way to go when you arrive. There are a few things that you can't see that we have also done to the facility. One is we fixed the electricity, and we also have a green room that's right off of the stage where the worship team meets for prayer before they enter into worship on a Sunday morning. The kids ministry department has grown both in numbers and in spiritual growth. We also have a new kids check-in system at the Arlington campus that makes it safe for children as they arrive and the parents drop them off and then pick them up on the other side of worship. Joanna Hendren has gotten lots of feedback when she's just hanging out around town, when she's at the parks or picking up her kids at school. She's seeing kids and they're saying, I can't wait to get back to church. So it's very fun that we're starting to see that people want to be a part of the Arlington campus. The middle school and the high school has grown a lot in the last year as well. We have a small youth room over there and it is starting to fill up in a really good way. This past summer, we went and did something different than VBS in the past. Monthly, we did an event so that we could invite families to these family events so that they knew about our church in the community. And we've actually had families that have joined the church and have become regular attenders as well. We have done a lot of different things to get our name out in the community, and it has been really great to have that experience of meeting people and getting to know them so that they can be a part of what God is doing at the Arlington campus. There has been lots of strong involvement from the Arlington campus. They have found that creating these new teams that we have makes it easy to plug in the way that you are able to plug in. And also our events have been an easy on-ramp to be able to come and volunteer and to be a part of things. We've created new teams, as I was saying. The new teams are, there's a kids ministry team, there's a check-in team, there's a greeter team, an events team, a steering team, there's a after worship prayer team, there's a facilities team, and there's probably some that I have forgotten to mention. But we've also seen team growth for the teams that were already in place. The worship team has grown, the security team has grown, the tech team has grown. And one of my favorite things is the teenagers are getting involved on a lot of these teams across the board. Our social media presence has also upped its game, and we are becoming known in the community as a healthy, vibrant, thriving church that's not just trying to survive, but we're actually able to move forward and offer things to the community, and people are excited about that. Our men's group that meets on Thursday mornings for breakfast, there's about 20 men that show up to that group each and every week. Our women's group has about 20 women involved in it as well, and they meet once a month, and it is thriving as well. We have grown in our connection with the preschool, the Advent Arlington Preschool, where we're doing personal invitations where the children and their families are being invited to things like the egg hunt and the back to school events, the Boohoo breakfast that we just came up with this year, Fallapalooza, Christmas Eve, and Easter, and it's really starting to pay off. We've connected with so many people in our community, and it's been a beautiful thing to see. People are saying that it's more fun than ever to be a part of the Arlington campus. One of the things that I get to do with Mike Moss once a month is we drive around the Arlington town and we pass out welcome to the neighborhood welcome bags from the town, and we've done almost 100 deliveries of welcome bags to people, and I get to have a personal moment with people who answer the door and invite them to church, and it's been really great. We've started a discipleship experience as well at the Arlington campus called Rooted. It's a 10-week discipleship experience, and almost 20 people have gone through that experience so far, and it has not only grown in numbers, but it has also, people have really grown in their faith as well. We've also started a grief share group at the Arlington campus, just like you have here in Cordova. Gretchen has done a great job of making it possible for both campuses to have that in place. One of the greatest things that I've watched God do this year is that He has grafted a group of people together. There's a sense of community in the church overall. Most of the people at Advent Arlington are serving in some capacity each month. We are sharing our gifts and talents with one another. New people are already saying that they feel like they've come into and are a part of a family. There's a camaraderie with all of us together moving in the same direction. Over this last year, Kaz and I have shared the pulpit, and we have brought alive the idea of being one church in two locations, and it is beautiful, and it actually made me think of the Acts 2 passage about what the first church was like. Acts 2:42 starts this way. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe to the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's been such a great year of watching God draw people to Himself at the Arlington campus. It has brought the Arlington campus great hope, and it is fun to see the new energy.
Through the ministry of the Batcave over the past year, we've seen 4 families engage with our Arlington campus that we've invited. 1 family we're getting ready to baptize. We've seen a marriage restored, and we've also established a Geek Nerd Bible study every Wednesday night at the Batcave. God is really blessing. He's taken the Batcave from transitioning to transformation, and we're thankful.
I've been a Christian now for 10 years, and I finally bought my first Bible, and I'm really looking forward to reading it.
When thinking about my spiritual growth in the past year, there are 2 events that really stick out in my mind. One of those being Rooted, which was a small group Bible study we did here at Advent Arlington. Initially, I was intimidated to do the group because at my age, I thought I should really know the Bible better. But through that group, I really came to know Christ and realized that it was okay to learn as you go, as you grow in Christ. The groups were small, and I was able to do so with my spouse. So even after the group ended, I still do spiritual growth on my own by reading, studying, and even get to grow a little bit with my wife as we read together. Another thing that stands out in my mind is 2 events that happened at work. They both were going to keep me from being able to attend church on Sundays. And through the power of prayer, faith, and trust in God, I was able to work those situations out where I could be here with my family and kids on Sundays and continue my spiritual growth by being in church rather than being at work.
We got baptized this year.
And I was the first immersion in this building.
I often say I grew up as a CME Christian because typically we only went to church Christmas, Mother's Day, or Easter. In 2009, my husband Andy and I moved to Arlington. We are raising 3 children who go to ACS schools. We love our neighborhood and we really love this town. A couple of years ago, it became important to me to finally find a church home where we could really make it our own and we could be more involved. We tried a couple of local churches, but last Easter we came to Advent. We were warmly welcomed and I immediately connected with Diana. Since then, we come to church a whole lot more often. We are officially members. We really love the community events that Advent does. And most important to me as a mother is that I feel more spiritually connected with my husband and my kids, and that's very important to me. I think Advent really has a lot to offer, and I think it's exciting to be here as members while not only Arlington grows, but Advent grows with it.
We got hired this year. I'm the worship director, this is our kids director, and this is our events coordinator.
We relocated to the town of Arlington about 3 months ago, and ever since we've been here, I could say it feels like a home. Everybody's been very warm, very welcoming. They just pick up the kids and take them on like they're their own. The kids love coming here, and I love coming here, and I feel that we've found our place.
Good morning, Cordova campus. I'm Diana Shiflett, the Arlington campus pastor. And this morning, I get to tell you about what is coming up in the future for the Arlington campus. So last year, 2022, when Rodney and I came in for the weekend and interviewed, I walked into the Arlington campus and there were 40 other people inside the building. And I thought to myself, I am not sure if this church wants to grow. We went home, we prayed about it, and we found ourselves really prompted to come because we thought God was going to move. And it has been an amazing year, as you have already heard from us this morning. But we're going to continue to grow because I feel like that's what God is calling us to do. Not because I think that, but because God is calling us all to that. And in 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously." Over this last year, I have seen a group of people who has not only sown generously, but we have started to reap generously. And that is true about both campuses. Both campuses have been all in to cause a beautiful time of growth out in Arlington at the Arlington campus. First thing I want to show you is this beautiful picture of the brand new paint job out at the Arlington campus. It is beautiful on the outside, and the next step forward is to make the inside match the outside, so to speak. We want the inside to be just as beautiful as it is on the outside. So as far as the building is concerned, as we move forward, we are going to do something what I would call pretty radical, but also pretty simple in a really good way. So right now, if you were to come to church at the Arlington campus on a Sunday morning, you would drive in this down here would be the driveway, and you would park back over here. Now, the front door is actually over here, and this is the sanctuary. So this gray part is the sanctuary. What we are going to try to do is reroute how people are coming in, and let me tell you why. So when you come in and you park your car right back here in the parking lot, right now, most people come down this sidewalk, and they come into this door, and you can see there's this little tiny vestibule right here. So when you come in this door, if you stop to talk to anyone, you cause a little bit of a traffic jam right here. And then it gets even more narrow as you come here, which is the little hallway that leads you into the sanctuary. So what we have found as we've grown from 40 on a Sunday to 86 or 94 on a Sunday morning, that this area is getting really congested on a Sunday morning, and we needed more space to be able to welcome people in and to fellowship together on a Sunday morning. The other thing that gets complicated if you are new to the congregation is finding the kids ministry. So if you're coming in off the parking lot and you come in this door, the children's ministry is not in this building. So what you would have to do is find someone who knows where the children's ministry is, and then you walk through this way, and then you walk out a door over here, and then across the grass to get to the other building, or down the sidewalk to get to the other building. So what we would like to do is to start to reroute people. That's the first thing that we need to do to make this a really great plan. So as you come off the parking lot, we are going to create a new sidewalk right here that anybody who is not very mobile or is in a wheelchair or even a stroller can come down this sidewalk. Or if you're more mobile, there's also a set of stairs coming this way. So everyone will be routed to this side of the building into a new set of double doors over here. And this actually comes in right now. This we created a little temporary wall here about 10 years ago. So this whole building, this part of the building was put on about 70 years ago. But then just about 10 to 15 years ago, they put this wall in to create a nursery before we had the preschool building. So now when you come in, you're going to reroute in here. And then there's this huge area as a fellowship hall or a lobby space where you can greet friends and spend some time in fellowship before you make the decision to head into worship. So that by the time you're actually moving into worship, you're going to move probably pretty quickly from this space into the sanctuary. But the great part about this also is if you are a part of the children's ministry in some way, shape, or form, whether you have children or you're helping with it, everybody's coming to this side of the building. So if you're brand new, you're coming to this side of the building, and you can already see the preschool building, which is where we have the children's ministry right now. For right now, we're trying all sorts of different ways to help this issue, but by rerouting traffic to this side of the building, we solve a lot of our problems. So we're going to make over this part of the building. We're going to drywall. We're going to do new flooring, and it's going to be a nice open space for us to do meals in there or to have bigger gatherings of people in this space. We're also going to make the bathrooms more up to date, and there will be more like a hallway here instead of currently there's like this little sideways hallway that pushes you out the door that you go to go across to the children's ministry. So that will clean up a lot of the flow on a Sunday morning. The next thing that I want to talk to you about, so this is one idea of what it might look like on the inside. So we'll have shiplap and maybe a check-in place for children there. The main thing about this rework is so that it becomes very friendly for new people that join us for a Sunday morning time of worship. The other thing that's exciting that is coming forward is we have hired three of the staff members that we needed to create our team over at the Arlington campus. And we have one more slot that we need to fill, and that's the student ministry director position. And we are in the midst of trying to make that happen. And our goal is to hire that person by January. So that's our hope as we move forward at the Arlington campus. And we really hope that you will want to sow generously into that, whether it's your time or your talents or your treasure, so that you can be a part of this next level that we are taking at the Arlington campus.
So it's exciting to see. 1 year ago, we said as a whole church, we're going to invest in this, and we have. And a team before that, even a year before that, we had a team from our church, a task force, come together and say, how do we really use the gifts that God has given us to do multi-site well, and how do we invest in Arlington? And we set up a path, and I was as nervous as anyone. Would this work? Right? Would that work? And we're seeing God bless that, and it's just incredible. And we get to see the momentum that's happening there, and as they put together a plan to create more welcoming spaces. The next problem, get this, this is good. The next problem that we get to deal with is there's not enough seating out there. That's a great problem to have. And so I'm excited about facing that challenge coming forward. But well done, church, right? We've come together as a church, and well done. You all have been a part of making that happen, enabling ministry to happen there. We've joined together to make sure that they have the right staff and making sure the facilities are what they need to be. And everybody has shown up to volunteer and help and spread the word. Now, the question is, and I get asked all the time, well, that's great, Kaz. We've invested in Arlington's campus. What about Cordova? Right? What do we do here? And last year, I've just told you, you got to wait. We just wait, you know, and hang out. Now, that doesn't like we stopped doing ministry, but we said we're going all in and make sure that we get Arlington up and rolling. As we're seeing that happen, it is time that we've turned around and said, okay, well, what do we do next? Right? What's the next thing that we do? What are the priorities that we're going to do on this campus? And we've looked and said, you know, there are simple things that we've been able to do. We still do these great events, and we see a bunch of people show up at them. And then we ask that question, well, then how do we connect those folks? And we've had a great team working on those events and making them happen. I'm so blessed by the staff that we have that are so invested in this ministry. But we've got to start asking that question. So here's what's going on. We've already done a few things that you've seen in this last year. One of which is something that seems so simple. We've done a whole bunch of security stuff. We've said we want to make sure it's a safe place to go to your car when it's dark outside and things like that. And so we've added amazing amounts of lights. And that's something that you might not notice until you're going to get your car at night and you're like, whoa, it's lit up like a football field out here out at night. And that's actually a really good and important thing. And we've got a great security team, a volunteer team that are around. They're behind the scenes, but we're always blessed by them, and we have somebody working the door to make sure that people are safe coming and going, and you know, this things like that. And you might go, well, Kaz, that does not sound very exciting. And I, you know, it doesn't sound exciting at all, except when I think about it and I go, this is a busy thoroughfare, and we have to be careful, and we want to make sure that people feel welcome and safe when they come here. And we're the kind of church, when people don't feel welcome and safe, some churches would go, well, hey, we shouldn't do any more evening events then, you know, and it'd be, let's just not do it. Our church didn't even think about that, not even for a second. We asked the question, well, what do we need to do to make sure that we can do the ministry that we're called to do? And we've leaned in to do that. And so that's been cool to see. Now, the next step going forward is we're going to take a process that we did for the Arlington campus a couple years ago. We're bringing together a task force to ask the question, God, what's really going on with our ministry? How are things going? And we're going to take a real hard look at that. because we've noticed, right, as our church community has often moved to different parts of the city, that we're not maybe doing a great job of connecting with families right here, right around our campus, and helping them take the next step from showing up at an event to becoming disciples and part of our church. And so our elders have come together, and we're reading a book together, our elders, called Unstuck, and it's a process for churches to look at and say, God, how do you help us with our, what steps do we take to reach our mission, to reach our community, our mission field right around us? How do we do this? And to ask really tough questions, but really exciting questions. And then to bring together a task force to work alongside our elders to ask those questions and say, what changes do we need to make in order to reach the people that we're called to reach? Do you know that most churches, when they hear what changes they need to make, say, change is really great for other churches, but not really so much for us, right? That's what most churches say. I really love change when other people do it, but not so much, you know, when I have to make that. But I am so encouraged because our elders have already started down this road and started to have those conversations, and our elders are excited about it. They're leading the way for us as a church to say, God, you speak to us, and we're going to go. We're going to do it. And I'm a little bit nervous. I don't know where it's going to lead, because God sometimes calls you to do things, and you go, all right, we're just going to go in that direction. But we do know this. We are given a mission to reach the community around us, and we're going to figure out a way to do it. You know, we always talk about the story of how we were founded. It's kind of in our DNA that we're a church that knocks on every door. We're going to reach out to everyone in the community. We don't do, door-to-door knocking so much anymore, because we're like, you know, that's probably not the best way forward, and it's not always safe or whatever. But I was just laughing listening to the, you know, watching the video and realizing, like in Arlington, we're still knocking on doors, right? We're knocking on doors. So, you know, everything's open, right? We're going to knock on doors. We're going to find ways to reach people, and we're going to ask the tough questions and say, all right, let's go forward. And it gives me great excitement about where we're headed as a church and a campus, because our elders, those who lead us, are excited about this process and are listening carefully to the leading of the Holy Spirit in this. So we have our elders and our task force are working on that. Now we're gonna really lean in this next year on our kids and our student ministry. These have always been important to us. Right now we're in the process of finding the right staff for those positions, and so we're leaning in on making that happen. It's good to watch the progression that we have. We're moving towards having the right team built around that. We're always gonna lean in those two areas, kids and youth ministry. And it's cool to see, you know, this morning to see that group that's out on retreat right now, and to see how God is changing lives in that. And it's fun to watch. We're gonna keep going in that. We're gonna push into that. We're not gonna let go of that. We're starting a new group, a process called the Shepherd Care Team. And the Shepherd Care Team says this: right now, if you have a need in our congregation and something comes up and you need something, you can call the office, you can reach out, you can text in, and someone will respond to your need. We're okay at responding to needs. But we have all the time, we have people that just kind of don't call in and maybe fall through the cracks, or people that we go, hey, where are they at? I haven't seen them in a while, and things like that. And so one of the things we're doing is we're saying, hey, we're going to take seriously the biblical model of ministry. That's that God has given gifts to everybody in the church. And to some, he's called with a shepherd heart, a person to be on the lookout for how people are doing in their life and how families are doing in their faith development, and to reach out to them. And so to proactively do that, we're going to divide our congregation up, and we're going to assign shepherds to each group in the congregation, just to connect and make sure we're tied together and building in our faith. And so I'm excited to see that develop. And one of the greatest things about that is that we are looking for shepherds that have that gifting, that God has given them those gifts. And we're saying, let's take those gifts and deploy them in ministry. That's what we're called to do as a church. Everybody gets to be a part of ministry. And so you're going to see that Shepherd Care Team start to develop. And then you heard us talk about the Rooted program on the Arlington campus. This is a 10-week discipleship program that helps people understand their gifts and what it means to live on the next steps as a disciple, to actually put that into practice. And we're going to start doing that on this campus. And so in January, you'll start to see us just slowly launch the first bit of Rooted, and then it'll grow and grow and grow. And I want to encourage you to be a part of that. Now, you may have been around the church for 40 years, but to go and let's get specific about what is God calling us to do, and to look at how are we disciples in our everyday life, and how do we put it into practice. It's not just a class where we get head knowledge. Those are good, but this is one about actual practice, about putting it into place. And now it'll help us in that way. There's another piece of this that's great, and that is if you come and you're fairly new to our congregation, we are a friendly congregation. Everybody wants to meet you and get to know you, but it's often hard to find your place. So many of us already have our class or our little group that we're a part of, and we feel like we've found our place. But if you're new, figuring out where do you start, how do you get that group of friends to go on this journey of faith together, that's kind of hard. And Rooted will give us a process to help us put that into practice. So I'm excited about those things going forward. I told you we invest our time, talent, and treasures in order to join together to do ministry, to be able to work together. And I'm going to talk about the financial part of that for just a second and let you know how that's going, because a part of doing ministry together is that we get to invest in this ministry even with our finances. And so if that thing will work. One of the things, just to remind you, this is how we fund ministry around here, to get the new ministry that has impact. We have the foundation for all of our ministry, central services, that's things that happen for both campuses, how we administrate, what we do with facilities, 13, 7, 11%. Then we build internally. This is internally focused things like worship and connections is 14% and 7%. Then we're outwardly focused on reaching out to the community around us. Mission is about 15% of what we do. Communication is about 5%. And then age-specific ministries, adult ministry about 13%, youth about 8%. Kids about 7. That's how we fund ministry and how we stack up our budget together. This is a generous church, and people give generously so that we can all be a part of the impact that the ministry is having. Let me show you where we're at right now. Giving through October, it's about $1.26 million. And what we were expecting and praying for based on our trends and things is that we would be at about 1.37. So we're about just a little under $100,000 behind. Now, that's not scary. The world's not falling in or anything like that. But I just want to update us as a congregation that it would be great if we jumped in there and said, hey, let's catch up. We've been a generous church over the years, and so we're able to continue the ministries that God has called us to do. But I want us to invest and jump in. Let me show you what that looks like for the end of the year. Total planned giving is about $1.9 million. We still need about $600,000 to finish out the next 2 months. And that seems like, whoa, how in the world? But actually, that's not that far off from what we did last year in the last 2 months of the year that a lot of folks give in November and December. And I want to encourage you to do that. And we gave over $500,000 last year in the last 2 months. And so we can do this. We can get there together. But what's great about it is we get to invest in the ministry that God has called us to join together and to have an impact. Now, then we look at, well, what happens in 2024? God has called us to do great things, and so we're gonna come up with a budget that is responsible, that we know we can get to. But I ask our staff to come together, and this is sort of the first part of how the budget works, and say, if we could do the ministries that we really feel like we need to do, what would that cost us? And that would cost us about $2.1 million. That's a little bit over. We were at about $1.9 last year, so that's a little bit of an increase. And we'll set together a responsible budget, and we'll spend within our means. That's what we do as a church. But I wanted to have a chance to encourage you that we have these opportunities as a church to roll up our sleeves to be a part of this together. What that would look like is that every family would participate at some level. For some of us, that's a first step that we need to do as a practice in our spiritual lives, actually. And it guides kind of who we are, and it builds a sense of generosity and changes our viewpoint. We talked about that last week. I want to encourage you to participate. And then in order to get there, that for some of us, that means giving at the next level, stepping that one step forward, whatever that might look like for your family. At the end of the day, these are the things that enable us to do the ministry. It's what it means to join together. And together, we have this incredible impact. Together, we've given of our time, our talents, and our treasures. And this is a church that is generous beyond explanation. This is a church that rolls up its sleeves. They show up to volunteer. This is a church where God uses us. And I'm excited about where God's taking us in the future as we do this together. Thank you for being such an incredible church. And thank you for going on this journey with me as we kind of follow, as our elders have these conversations to say, all right, God, now what? Now what? And as we start to put these practices into place, we start to see lives changed. It's so cool that we kind of put those practices, that plan into place. We started working the plan, and we've seen it in Arlington. And now we're going, okay, how do we do this on our campus in Cordova? Would you pray with me? God, you have gifted us in so many incredible ways. This is a church full of your people who love you. God, we want to be a people that puts you first in every area of our life, even our time and our talents and our treasures. Would you help us to do that? Would you help me to do that with my family? Would you help me to put that into place? And would you enable us to do that as a church? God, you've given us so much opportunity. Would you help us to live into it, God? We want to run in the direction that you've called us. We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen.